This is Due by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, calm down.
What's going on? Is Alex in Chicago? Is she still traveling?
I don't know.
How am I like... I'm like tethered to a satellite connection off the shore of Mexico, and I'm here on time.
How's it feel, buddy?
It's infuriating.
Really? Huh, sorry about that.
I mean, I'm giving my time up. I'm here on time to be here with you people.
Oh, my God. You know what's happening right now? I hate to say this. Time theft. This is time theft.
Oh, my God.
Theft.
It's rampant time theft.
It's time theft. Time theft at sea. The worst time.
I mean, it's international waters. I mean, you know. Time piracy is a problem, but you never think it's going to happen to you.
You could gamble with a child prostitute while you're having a Mai Tai and nobody can touch you. I mean, unless you ask. Okay.
Now, let me tell you, on the cruise, you can do the pina colada or you can get a banana pina colada, which is where they will just also blend up a banana in there.
Ugh.
You have not lived, my friend.
Hey, there she is.
Alex, are you on? Aren't you on strike today?
Yes, but this isn't work.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
where are you in Chicago? What are you doing? What's happening? Why are we running late? Let's go.
I'm here. I'm here. We're ready.
I'm almost done with my booch. I got to get a fresh one.
I miss kombucha so much.
I'm having Max is having three per morning.
Oh my God! You know,
that's too many
that's
microorganisms.
That's rejoice.
I mean, you know, there's got to be a theoretical limit.
Alex, you should explain what's happening here to our audience.
So I just got back into town. Normally, Max and I record in the same room, unlike most real podcasts. But the last episode, we were all remote, and this week. Max is on a boat enjoying the Joko cruise. I have that correct, right?
Enjoying is a strong word.
I keep having these fantasies of like Trump being impeached or like Jen and Trin starting a revolution and ending up in jail. And you just get off the boat and you're like, what's happening? Just the company has collapsed and it's
I will put that rebellion down like Javert.
You guys.
Those little schoolboys will pay.
You've got to stop talking about
them. They'll wet themselves with blood.
So are you collecting lots of good card ideas from people?
We
Hey, wait a minute! You're the guy from that dirty card game.
The thing we're doing on the cruise is we have nightly, semi-nightly comedy shows. It's the sort of like cards improv format. So it's a bunch of like improvisers from Chicago, and we did a show with like Tawny Newsom's been playing with us, and. Hal Lublin from Thrilling Adventure Hour, and it's basically like whoever's funny on the boat comes and does the show with us, and we take card suggestions from the audience, and then sort of when we get a good one, we like act it out on stage, and it's a super fun show. It's super fast paced, and we've been doing this show for years and years and years. We have a monthly show at the IO Theater in Chicago. And the card suggestions always suck. I mean, we always sort of like fix them on the fly and try and find some way to make them work. And to my great astonishment, we got a pick two black card that's probably the best card we've ever been pitched in the history of this show, which is due to a transporter malfunction, blank materialized as blank. And it's super funny because it's a new relationship between the white cards that's like not represented elsewhere in the game. That's like a miracle when that happens. So I think we gave that person like a free copy of Cards Against Humanity.
Nice. And they got and I think just to clarify for our listeners, because you're going to get feedback, it's a ship, not a boat. A boat's something you like carrying a pickup truck. You're on a ship. You have Mai Tais, coladas. You can have any kind of rum drink as long as it's a rum drink. Is that right?
Well, I grind a banana up right in there.
Are there any powders on the boat at all, Max? You sent us a photo that was very enticing to me. Could you tell us a little bit about the chemist, as they say in England? It looks like you had access to some powders.
Oh, that's right. When we were in Cabo San Lucas, I mean, boy, the pharmacy situation there is much better than the U.S. I mean, you can just go right in there, and I mean, you get your Cipro or your boner pills or Claritin D, right? Or you just walk in and buy it.
Oh,
in cash.
Dios mio.
And you don't have to show ID or anything.
And we want to build a wall. It's sickening.
I know. What's wrong with us? It's a vibrant culture. I mean, I don't understand that. And they can just buy their boner pills and their Claritin D right over the counter. Mm. So I don't understand why it's working for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the powder selection in Mexico it's highly advanced.
Yeah. Have you? So you've gone to shore a little bit. See, now when I was on the cruise, we went to places like Haiti.
We did that when I was there. Like, I was on the cruise, like, I think maybe a couple years or a year before you or something. And that Haiti is just that stop. It's like owned by the cruise line, and they bought it in some sort of usurious
deal.
They
bought the glands of the island. They bought an island piece. They put a fence around it, and there's literally people with machine guns by the gates. And you know, you
Holy
really
shit.
Haven't tasted the true like magnifique of imperialism until you've arrived in Haiti on a cruise ship and gone to a place where the islanders are not allowed to come through the fence because machine guns.
Oh my god!
Have a drink.
And there's like shore excursions. Like, hey guys, like zip line down the beach. Come on, it's awesome.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really bad. The Mexico trip is a welcome change of pace from the like fake cruise island owned island hopping. But yesterday we went to now we're in this tiny little town called Laredo, or they did this concert called Joe Coachella, and I went on Veronica and I went on to shore, and you take these little tender boats. You know, the ship can't go in too far because it's a big boat. The boat, it's a big boy. Mm-hmm. And so you get on these little tender boats, and it's like a little metal like capsule that holds like 30 people just like ass to ass.
Oh,
and we get on this thing, and you know, it's, you know, you're in the ocean, and it's just getting like buffeted by the waves, and everyone's like kind of white knuckling their seat, and this thing's just like blowing back and forth. It's not you know, an awesome situation, but we were going with the performers for the Joe Coachella thing, and who is in the back of the boat but Mr. John Roderick himself, sitting back there with his arms folded. And I was like, you know, if this thing goes down, I feel like we're in
half
good
my
hands.
Career goes away.
But I was like, I feel like Roderick would have a plan.
Oh sure, he's got a small bag pack. My problem is, you know, as you know, I can't accept joy in life. I'm very ungracious about people trying to make me happy. And so, like, I feel like Kathy Bates in Titanic, but, like, with not as much will. Like, I just feel like a fancy lady in a hat in a packet boat. Yes. Yes, please. Take me to Haiti. I would like a black man to bring me a drink. Yes, you there, black man.
I just have this image in my mind of all these like emancipated children looking at a fence as a bunch of fat Americans like ziplining down
their playground. Why'd you take so long? Why is the zipline line so long? Where's my drink, black man?
So there's literally this thing. I mean, it's a nerd cruise, right? So people built an app called Cruise Monkey, and in the app there's a thing called Twitter, like Pirate R, and it's like Twitter that runs over the local
Wi-Fi.
Just runs
on Wi-Fi, yeah.
And one of the amazing features of Twitter is the complaints thread, where the passengers complain about things on the boat, and they're like, the two that stick out in my mind are, number one, I am too fat to use the shower, and water goes everywhere
okay,
in my room.
Okay, all right.
And
okay.
that's number one. And
oh, God.
Number two, oh, they didn't God. Say fat, they said wide. I'm filling in the gap there. So, number two, the straws in the drink are too short.
Oh my God.
You there, boy, bring me a longer straw. My fingers are getting cold.
The hot tubs are too hot. The hot dogs are too small. It's not funny when it's too hot. Oh shit. Yeah, I was maybe as much as 18 hours in before I realized it was basically an aggrievement vacation for people, because no matter what you say, people have to act like it's a serious aggrievement that has to be addressed at an institutional level, and they're not allowed to say no. You're going to go, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. I think hats trigger me too. Hey, everybody. Trigger warning for hats. You guys. Oh, that song with that remix was very problematic. It really misses the spirit of Lindsey Buckingham's playing on the original Rumours album. Could you guys please not play that? It triggers me. I think remixes are inauthentic. You know, there should be a trigger warning for colonialism. If you're going to take somebody else's music, like a Lindsey Buckingham, without asking. Also, don't wear a hat.
Oh, man. All right. I mean, here's what I can report. So I went on the cruise like 2 years ago. Did not really enjoy myself. I don't know. The cruise, it kind of got to my head, and it was bizarre. I mean, for all the reasons we're saying, it was a totally bizarre and sort of out of body experience, and I did not like the destinations and all that. I don't know. It just was not for me. And it's been just long enough that I forgot how much I didn't like it, and I agreed to do it again. And you know, but this time the key difference is it's a much smaller ship, and the whole thing is the Joko cruise. There's no like normal cruise stuff happening, so it's all Joko.
And that means different.
all the music is playing is good. There's all the shows are completely 100% programmed, you know, nose to tail, cool stuff that I'm into. So there's like close up magic and tons of board games, and I'm legitimately having a lot of fun, and it's a very good experience this year. And I'm surprised. No one is more surprised than me that I'm having fun.
I also want to just give a shout out to the Paulses and Stormses and all the people who do the work on that. We're like they just nonstop. They are constantly trying to make everybody happy and make everything run. I don't know how they do it, but I mean, big shout out to that whole team because they work so freaking hard on that thing.
Like one of the things that's kind of cool that happened this year is like, so we're in this tiny little picturesque town in Mexico called Laredo, and everyone takes the tender ships to port. And then last night there was this show, the Joe Coachella show, and it was unbelievable. It's an outdoor stage, like festival kind of an atmosphere. There's all this like street food out in the square, and it's like a legit rock, like an actual outdoor summer rock concert. And you have the lineup was Amy Mann, Ted Leo, John Roderick, Jonathan Coulton.
Wow.
Jean Grey. Like, how does that not a good night?
That's a good night.
And it was like, and it wasn't like nerd cool. Like, it wasn't like, oh, here's a bunch of like nerd shit that you like. It was cool.
song about math.
No, it was cool. Cool. It was like actually cool. Like, you were actually cool for being there, and it was a good, high quality, cool thing. There was like actual good street food.
People,
actual
people
good music.
People take chances.
That is
like,
a good experience.
At the shows, at the live shows, I mean, like, you know, you get a very relaxed Ted Leo who will do some just amazing shit just to like play along with what's happening with the vibe. It's really, really fun. Yeah, it was weird. The being on the cruise with, I think we our group comprised something like, I don't know, a third of the people on the boat or half. But, you know, and there's so much that is actually really magical about Joko Cruise. We kid. But like there are people, for example, who begin transitioning while they're on Joko Cruise. It's a very, very warm and accepting environment. But at the same time, there's a lot of retirees who are like staring at your purple hair in the elevator, and it can get, you know, pretty weird. Now, let me just be clear. I want to understand a little bit more about which aspects of your personality should be personally offensive to me.
When I was on, I think I like passed as normal, so I had a lot of old people ask me, "What's a Joko?"
We got that a lot because we had a kid, and it would frequently happen. It would just be this sotto voce thing, always in the elevators, where like two pairs of retirees getting ready to go to dinner would be like, "I'm sorry to bother you. What is happening here?" Well, there's this guy who went to Yale. It's kind of a long story. Digga, 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 digga. Welcome. We are back. We are back. You know, this is probably very costly for Max.
Yeah, we're not back. We didn't go anywhere. It's because
I'm
awesome and figured out how to record this thing on a cruise ship.
This is unprecedented. Alex, how you doing? We're not letting you talk this week. I'm sorry about that.
Oh no, it's okay.
Okay, I got a quick mini challenge. I called to your attention. As you know, I believe that this is probably, I can't say that we are the most popular anti-Semitic podcast, but I think we're probably the best. We also are definitely the preeminent powder podcast. I learned a lot more about powders this week that I wanted to share with you. I want to let you know there's a great interview on Fresh Air this week with a German guy who's written a book about the use of drugs in the Third Reich, and I highly recommend that you listen to this or at least read the transcript, because guys, I'm just here to tell you the Germans were doing a lot with powders.
Can you summarize what you learned? I don't have enough internet to listen to that.
It's so this guy wrote this book in German a while back, and I've been champing at the bit for this thing to come out in English for a while now. So he's a guy who's a novelist, and he started to write a novel about basically just the myriad ways drugs were used and abused throughout basically, what do you call it, the post-Weimar era. And starting with stuff like they basically gave meth to the soldiers. This was kind of a new thing. It wasn't just go pills for pilots to make it through. They were driving east, like just flying by giving people meth. All the soldiers were getting meth every 12 hours. And they could literally fight for days until they were essentially just hallucinating from so much speed. And at one point, the French were like, oh, God, zoot's allure. We're giving our guys three quarters of a liter of red wine per day. And we're having trouble fighting the people who literally take speed twice a day. What are we going to do about this? Alan Z, everybody starts getting the speed. Now, then we get to hit.
That's an incredible circumstance, because that's playing out nationally in the U.S. now, because you've got the sort of coastal elites and they're drinking one glass of red wine per night for their heart health. And then you've got the opioid and the meth epidemic. And how are we supposed to go up against them? They're super soldiers. They never sleep. They don't feel pain.
No, you get a flyover state speedball, they call it. And that's what they were given to the Hitler. Now, Hitler, if you haven't heard, was the guy who was in charge back then. And he had a lot of problems. And one of the things was that basically he got this doctor, super fascinating doctor, who was like his Dr. Nick, and would basically give him whatever, and he would write it down. So there's a record of this. So long story short, this guy, this author, breaks this down into these three stages. It's the first stage where Hitler's like, I want to be strong like Bull. Give me vitamin injections, just like Elvis. We'll come back to this. Then he gets into the thing. Now he's on the opioids. And guess what? Hitler was addicted to Oxy. Hillbilly heroin. The same thing that is blighting our country. That was Hitler. Then, oh boy, around 44, things get crazy. Now he's on the speedballs. And they're giving him the cocaine. And so there's one point, you remember there's the bombing in 1944 that almost killed him. So a bomb goes off. His generals are killed. He's got a meeting scheduled with Mussolini the next day. A bomb goes off. His body is riddled with hundreds of tiny splinters. So Hitler was severely injured, but he called Morel, his doctor, to give him one of these shots that would immediately restore his health and give him function again as the dictator. Morel administers a shot a few minutes after the devastating bomb had gone off, and Morel just writes the letter X. So every time he gives him oxy, he makes an X. But then another doctor comes in and takes all the splinters out from Hitler's body and treats the blown eardrums and writes in his report later to the U.S. Ordnung Lieber, he's amazed Hitler felt no pain whatsoever. He's never seen anything like it. My question, my challenge to you, if you knew to a fairly high level of certainty that the personal doctor you got would give you the powders that you needed, how would you feel about having a personal doctor?
This is weird. You just talked for quite a bit about illegal and illicit drugs, and your question is just, would we like a personal doctor?
Did I stutter?
I'm frankly outraged. I'm outraged that I don't have a personal doctor, because I don't understand. Why does Hitler get one and I run a successful game company? I should have a guy. I should get a guy who gives me whatever powders I want and then puts an X down. Restore the dictator to health.
He gives you the ones you want. He gives you the ones he needs to give you. He writes down an X. Here's the thing, Alex. I don't know if you know about this Obamacare. I don't like going to the doctor. I'm a man who should probably get his ass checked at least once a year. I don't like going to the doctor. I don't like waiting. I don't like calling people on the phone. I don't like talking about my life. That said, if I had some little personal monkey man who had some kind of farcical medical degree but could give me powders on demand, I think I would go to the doctor a lot more.
I mean, yes, if I had a personal doctor who give me opiates in any time I wanted, I don't know if that's something I would say no to.
Okay, what? Maybe you want a massage, or you want like a personal nose blast. Or
well,
like
that's the thing. But I have so many doctors that at this point, would it be like a super doctor who takes care of like
economies of scale? You get a single personal doctor who follows you around like a little mini me. Somebody's there. They got a bag. They call it the football. They got the bag that's got all the powders in it. You need a powder. You call on mini me. They come up. Tick, 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 tick. Of course, it's a little guy. He comes up. He gets on a step stool and he gives you whatever fucking powders you need today. I find that, Max, I'm with you. I'm sickened that I do not currently have a personal doctor.
I feel like I should be able to ring a bell. I mean, I feel like this is, honestly, now listen, it's not my place, but because I don't run this cruise line. But if I did own a cruise line, I would have a little bell in the room, and you could ring it, and you could say, "Restore the dictator to health." And the little mini-me would come in with his powders and vials.
You should, get on the Twitter. Get on Twitter and just say, "You guys."
Can I give you an example of the kind of thing that I need? Please. I would ring the bell for. So on the balcony, I'm out here right now. On the balcony, I have a little bathtub looking off the side of the balcony, so I can relax in a hot bathtub. It's really a super bath. It's a peak bath technology, and I can lie in this bath and look off the railing. This is outdoors on the exterior of the cruise ship, and just look out and observe the ocean, and participate in some contemplative of sea gazing. And I was trying to switch the different faucets and nozzles using this sort of metal apparatus to activate the correct nozzles for optimal bath relaxation, and I cut my finger on it.
Oh,
and
God.
It's really bothering me. I have this little it's like a paper cut thing, and it's like,
was it on a seam, Max? Is it on one of the bendy parts?
It's like a metal disc.
No, I mean your finger seam to activate the jets. Is it a part where you're really feeling
it? Oh, yes. It's right. God, it's right in the crease. Oh. And, it's like, where is my bell? Restore the dictator to health.
Oh, my God. This is really troubling to me. It's a kind of medical time theft. You're there on that boat. You're being paid good money to be there. And now you have to deal with a cut up finger, and there's not a little monkey man there to help you with powders and
fishing
a
around in my banana and my banana pina colada like an animal trying to find the straw.
Stop trying to make my towel into a lobster and fix my fucking finger. Bring the dictator back to help. So I guess that's three yeses.
Yeah. Oh no, my finger and my bespoke bath by an ocean.
Oh no, my finger.
Now, guys, I don't want to think about. I'm trying not to, I don't want to think about work too much while I'm on vacation here. But I can't help it. I've got the entrepreneurial mind. I'm much like Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank. I'm always, I'm always thinking, and I'm thinking now we have our
cupcakes in jars. Boom.
now I'm thinking about our venture office, Hagrid, and I'm thinking, what do we have here? We have an infrastructure where you have the Hagrid coming to the place of work. Maybe now we are, and they're very well disciplined because they're going to be wearing the shock bracelets. So I'm thinking maybe they have some sort of, wait, hear me out now. They have some sort of attaché case with a bunch of injections, powders, vials.
Like a St. Bernard with a flask.
Right. And they've got, what do you need? A little shot of opioids, a little shot of meth, a little upper, a little downer. And they'd come in, they make a little X, they give you your shot.
Now, you're talking really more here as a Hass. It's a Hagrid as a service.
Yeah, I mean, he's at the office.
I have to say, I really wish we had an office Hagrid this weekend when both Max, myself, and our office manager, Kevin, we were on like opposite sides of the country, and at 4 a.m. my time, I get like 10 calls from our alarm company. And now we have these security cameras, which are great. And so I turn them on and go look, and there's this poor guy frantically like hitting our alarm system, like the little pad to disarm it. And I was like, either this is a very stressed out cleaning employee or someone, a really dumb burglar. And I was just like, and it all got worked out, but the cameras is just like, okay, this is a robbery. I guess I get to watch it happen. That's nice.
The internet, I don't want to say that, I wouldn't go so far as to say that the internet works on this cruise. Like my current connection, I have some sort of crazy Mexican, you know, LTE service that I'm all tethered up through. But like I actually think what happened. So here's my theory. This is exciting for all of our listeners. I think here's my theory of what happened with the IT system on the ship. I think that they offer, you know, they have some sort of shipboard satellite Wi-Fi that moves at the pace of a glacier, but it does work sort allegedly. But I think what happened is that they have some sort of DNS system that can only assign DNS numbers to so many devices, and this is probably the first time on the cruise that every single passenger has 8 devices that connect to the Wi-Fi and request a DHCP address, and I think that their switcher just capped.
It's like a vegan pina colada. They got like 6 of those on board. They had no idea that there's gonna be so many vegans wanting a pina colada. There's no way you couldn't even prepare for something like that.
I would say more. Okay, let me take it and turn it. It's after you've had 12 banana pina coladas, and you go to sit down to do your business on the shipboard toilet, and it's like, how much throughput can it really handle?
Oh, you want a bigger pipe? Because
this is gonna be. This is going to be, you know, you've got, you know,
you want the bowel movement equivalent of like a T3. Something that can really seriously move some data.
I mean, and they thought that they had an engineer on this ship, you know, to really move that data. But you've got people who are too wide for their showers.
Why is there so much gravy? Okay, we should start this show. challenge. Max was the issuer of the challenge this week, which I have simply phrased as calm down. I think that's the challenge. The challenge this week was to calm down. What's your challenge, Max? Tell us about it.
Well, we investigated a variety of challenges, and ultimately I decided that the only challenge I was able to plausibly take on this week was just relax, man.
Yeah. Relax.
Just relax.
How'd you do with it, Alex? You feeling super, like you limber? You're like a warm rubber band? How you feeling?
Oh yeah, I feel great. Yeah. Definitely getting on a plane and flying, it was great. Everything was fine and I felt completely relaxed. Didn't have my Apple Watch panicking cuz my heart rate was super high. You know, and last night I came home and I haven't seen Mel for a week. And I'm like, I definitely want to hang out, but first I need to relax for my podcast. And I tried meditating.
For your work.
Yeah. No, I'm on strike. and then that Headspace app, I don't know. I just don't like that guy's voice. And
he's a little smug.
Yeah, he's like, all right, feet on the floor. And I'm like, oh, fuck you. And then I ended up just dicking around on my phone. And really, that was great. I was like, I don't have anything to do until tomorrow. I could answer these emails and I could be on Twitter, but I'm just going to dick around and read a book and play some mindless games. And so, yeah, I guess I did relax. And it was more, I think, out of pure exhaustion. Because I ended up falling asleep, and I guess I took an unintentional nap, which is a challenge I know, which is a challenge I could I did not previously do. And then I woke up around I woke up at like 10 p.m. So then I was up until like 4 in the morning. But still, at that time, I did feel very relaxed. How about you, Merlin?
Wow. Well, I'm super impressed. I think one of the problems with relaxing is, I have to relax in stages. Like, I need to relax before I can relax. It's hard for me to actually relax without pre-relaxing. So first I have to, like, look at my phone for a long time or something before I can really relax. It takes me, like, 3 days to, like...
For me, I got to be 100% sure that the president's not going to tweet.
Oh, God. Yes. Yeah, he's like, I shouldn't say, but he's like somebody who likes it, like has a monthly bowel movement where you're like, oh boy, when that happens, it's really going to blow. You know, it's like a Walter Hudson. You get somebody and you're like, you know, he's been eating 4 Big Macs, 4 double cheeseburgers, 8 large orders of fries and a quart of Coke every day. That's just for lunch. When he does have that BM, that's really going to go. And so you're like, I want to wait. And like just after he is, it's going to test the T3. After he's blown the bandwidth, I know I'm good for an hour or two, maybe. Now it's all going to be just Twitter for iPhone for a little while. #, thank you, Senator. That's, you know, all going to be okay. I can move on to stage two of relaxing, which is where I try to relax. So I'm terrible at that. And also, basically, I live in Gitmo. My daughter is the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life, and she makes it impossible to do almost everything. And so I try to take a nap, and I say, okay, well, I'm going to go take a nap now. And she's like, you know, whatever. And then she comes in because she's folded a piece of paper and wakes me up. And it's not exactly like Gitmo, but it's hard to get fully into the relaxation. I should get on Twitter. I should let people know. And like Max said this. Max put an idea virus in my head weeks ago, and I can't get it out. You didn't exactly say this. It's more what I interpreted. But you were talking about how hard it is for you to relax and how it stresses you out sometimes to not be stressed out. And I started to realize that I'm like that. Like, meditating makes me very, not even just like relaxation meditation, not even honest to God hard meditation. I'm not talking about like sitting on rice. I'm talking about like just laying there going like, okay, you need to calm the fuck down. It stresses me out. I start following my breath. And I practically have a panic attack because I associate it with trying to relax. And it's like, no, this is wrong. I've room 101 myself into this. And now, like, I think of relaxation as pain.
Can I ask you an Andrea Fella question from our Buddhism podcast that we like?
Yes. Are you giving a bottle of ibuprofen a small bath?
No, I'm sitting on the bathtub in the balcony. I got my kid.
Oh,
in
my
it.
God!
Sorry.
Okay. I was like, yeah. a bath is happening, a powder is happening, or a lot of opiates are just spilling into the tub, and possibly all three.
Hey, man, I'm not gonna sit here recording a podcast, looking at the ocean in front of a bathtub, and not take a bath.
No, it'd be time theft. Andrea, follow question.
Here's the question. Is it that when you meditate, you become anxious, or is it that you're always pretty anxious, and when you sit to meditate, it comes to the front of your mind?
Like, every time I meditate, it's like, okay, life is suffering, and this is the epitome of suffering. And usually my meditation session ends with an OmniFocus review and me just puking out everything that is on my mind. So I guess I don't know.
You should try Todoist. I am so with you, Alex. Here's the other thing. Why do we not like emergency rooms?
You got to pay. You pay. You upgrade to the tag system, and then you get a tag mindfulness session 2017.
It's called a label, Max. And everybody likes Todoist but us. Boo. Boo right. Do by Friday. You guys, Twitter. Fuck me gently. Here's
like
the problem.
People who are like, oh, they're in a feud with Cortex.
This is gonna. I really want to. Can't wait to hear
Gray
the podcast.
Doesn't know who we.
I like Bam.
Listen, review. I'm not 100% sure what Cortex is, but I challenge him to a fight. Come here, I'll kick your ass. Come here.
I can't wait to hear the review. I like the review of this on Cortex, but I can't wait to hear the review of this application. I really want to hear them go head-to-head, toe-to-toe, one-on-one in the
Who
octagon.
Who is Cortex? How dare they? They sound like a bunch of cocks. We could take them. I'm also assuming that they will not listen to this and fight us because I will curl up into a ball if they do.
Well,
I will
I was
run
just
away.
Thinking, if there was a Do By Friday versus Cortex showdown, it would all end with us just sitting down slowly and looking at each other, and then eventually we all just look at our phones and that's
just
it.
Being very uncomfortable.
I would definitely make a lot of threatening tweets, but then not show up because I don't want to experience any confrontation.
That's okay. I think the only person who's more deeply troubled and introverted than you is probably CGP Gray. I think he would go into the closet inside the closet pretty quickly. Okay, so here's the thing. Why do we not like emergency rooms? Oh, gosh, emergency rooms, they're so well lit and they have water fountains. No, you have a bad feeling about emergency rooms because you're never there when things are going well. And that's me with meditation. I'm a dick. I'm an idiot. I'm the asshole. I don't meditate when things are going great. I meditate when I'm on the verge of losing my mind. And so I associate that entire process of thinking about it, procrastinating about it, eventually kind of doing it, and then like freaking out. It's bad on me because I only relax at times when I really, really, really need to relax, or I only focus when I really need to focus. So to me, it's like a trigger warning for hats. Like, you know, warn me about this. And that's my
Merlin,
problem.
Do you take vacations like the stereotypical what you know is depicted on television type of vacation?
Yes, and I've gotten way, way better at it than I used to be. Back when I used to be Merlin Mann and had a website, I mean, there are some very funny stories about me trying to find internet in places that don't have internet because I thought I had to go look at the comments on my site and stuff, and I just never could turn off. And I've gotten a much better clutch now about saying, okay, let go and let God. I'm going to go, and I'm just going to, you know, cause, and also, like, not to be, you know, me, but, like, I need to be there for my family. I mean, this needs to be fun for my family, and I need to step up for that instead of just being, like, a sad tomato. What about you? Are you good at vacations?
Remember when I took a staycation a few months back? I think that answers your question.
It was a still, just clarify, because it was a staycation where you came into the office and worked occasionally.
You have to use up that time.
I have to use up those vacation days, which then I found out transferred over, and I still have.
You got to use up all your staycation days.
See, this makes me sound like a hard worker, which I would debate. It just makes me anxious to be away from the office.
So I know, it's like waiting for the president to poop. Like, you can't really move on.
Yeah. One nice thing I tried. Like, my family's been trying to get me to go to Florida for the past few months. I know a place that you hold very, very, very dearly in your heart, Merlin.
Very warm.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to book a vacation, and I'm just going to sit by the dolphins and read about robots for 5 days. And then I kind of pussied out and just was like, no. The studio's being rebuilt. No. I can look at videos of dolphins on YouTube. It's great, which I did last night, and it helped relax. Dolphins are so majestic. Oh, okay, Max, how was your relaxation? Well, I mean, you're in a bath right now.
Are you eating anything, Max? Did you get some food? Did you bring a sandwich or anything?
Well, now I realize suddenly that I don't have anything.
Black man, bring me a hoagie.
where's my ship, Hagrid? I don't know. I'm as relaxed as I ever am, which is like not very, but you know, I don't think it's like I don't know. Where do we even begin here? I don't think it's like a place. I don't think that being relaxed or being happy is a place that you go. You know, people talk about this with writing all the time. They're like, oh, well, in order to write, it's like I have to be in a wooden cabin in the middle of the woods, and there can't be too much furniture, and the right music has to be playing, and it can't be raining, and I have to have my favorite pen. And it's like, well, you're not really a writer then. I mean, you know, it's like, those are all excuses that you can come up with to not write. And the same is sort of true of relaxing. It's like, well, or you know, the other one people talk about is like, oh, well, like, I'm not happy unless I'm like in nature. And it's like, you know, well, nature, we're nature, like nature is whatever. So nature, be, you know, appreciating your environment, being able to look out and see the beauty in your environment. It's like, well, I mean, that's a city or a whatever. It's like, there's nowhere left on the planet that's like a quote unquote natural place. Like, we've kind of fucked it all up already, but be like, the things that we do aren't unnatural. Like, they're extremely, you know, we build out of natural materials.
It's a weirdly provincial thing to say, to act like, I mean, forget my saying, but like to keep constantly going on about, oh, I need to be in nature. Like, nature is some kind of destination in the wild. Like, you're this, you know,
right.
You know, what, some kind of Rousseau character that's going to go wander around in the ferns. And it's like, no, you can really, I've taken walks in places that really you shouldn't be taking a walk. Just get outside, just get in the sun. But you've got to get past this idea that everything has to be a certain way. And I think that's part of a good vacation is like, I mean, just my one tip about a vacation is, well, you've got to not, first of all, you gotta, like in your case, Max, working vacations are weird. I know that sounds, it sounds weird and privileged to say that, but like you have to be on, like you've got to be, when you go to dinner, you don't just go to dinner. You have to be a little bit on. I mean, that's the expect. I felt that pressure a lot. And so you have to.
I'm on right now. I'm hilarious. You guys, what's the deal with the president? He says weird stuff. His hair's weird. It looks like a dead animal.
Oh my God, the tape.
That's a joke.
Oh my God. And the other one is you've got to learn what.
Remember when he pissed on those ladies?
Oh my God, I totally remember that. The dossier. They got a picture of Steele. Have you seen the picture of him? He's younger than I expected. The dossier EA. I don't know what the French would be for a dossier maker.
I don't know what the I don't know what the fuck is happening with the news this week. I read a little bit about the healthcare bill, and I was like, I really can't do anything about this, so I don't know.
Here's what I learned. I learned this. Took me so long to learn. You have got to really adjust your expectations about what's going to happen in the way you expect it when you go on vacation. Otherwise, it will be worse than work. Because when you go to work, at least the environment is understandable in the way you want. One time, I had a beloved sister-in-law. She would do things like freak out because she couldn't get a Vogue magazine, like when she was in, like, you know, Belize. And, like, that's the thing is, like, learn what that place is good at. One time I went to the Dominican Republic and we learned, here, you know what? Don't get the free room service with pizza. That's a bad idea. Dominican Republic pizza is not good pizza. You know what you do? You go and lay on one of those beds by the beach and you drink sugary drinks and you play in the water. Like, it took me 3 days to figure out that obvious thing. Like, in your case, like, you know what? Go by the pool and have some soft serve. Like, whatever it is, but you have to find what that place is good at that you will enjoy, accept it on its own terms, rather than going, why isn't this like the place that I'm used to? Because that's what even a cruise vacation is like, take it on its terms and get into it.
Yeah, but similarly, like, the thing that you're describing, like, I think I and most people experience in their everyday life, which is assuming that you need some sort of, like, external conditions to relax or be happy is usually, like, a recipe for being extremely unhappy all of the time. Mm-hmm. Because it's a moving goalpost. It's like you're back solving it. You're like rationalizing after the fact, like, why you're not happy. And it's like, oh, well, because I'm not in this environment, or I don't have this thing, or it's something external to myself. And you're never going to solve all those problems. Like, there's always going to be something. Like, what's the scenario? It's like, you know, it's like the straw's always going to be too short.
we put out all this wicker just for you.
Well, what about, I mean, this is all fantastic, and I completely agree with you guys, but what about if it's not, you know, Vogue magazine? What if, you know, your kid is really unhappy, or your wife's really unhappy, or just, you know, you're at the airport, and everybody's really stressed out, and people are shouting, like, how, I mean,
I've got two good ones. Number one, that are from this cruise that I'm realizing, like, these are things that are, they trigger me. Trigger number one, when you're too wide for the shower. Very bad. The water goes everywhere.
She's going to have to cut all of this out, Max.
No. We can say that. It was posted semi-publicly. Mm. All right. No. Trigger number one, I don't like doing the same thing that everyone else is doing. So if everyone moves in a highly bovine fashion to the same location, I do not like being one.
Customs, like, to get, just to get on the boat.
I'm talking about, like, when everyone starts mooing and filing into the dining hall. I do not like to be in that line. I feel very bad about society and myself.
And the white lady gives you hand sanitizer?
Well, that's a sanitizer, Hagrid. I don't like being moving in a bovine fashion in the same direction as everyone else. It makes me very uncomfortable. I feel like we're heading towards the showers.
Jesus Christ.
That's number one. Trigger number two. I spent a considerable amount of time in the weeks before getting on the cruise, sort of like lining up all my technology so that it would work. So it was like, you know, it was like picking the right recording equipment to do this podcast, bringing just the right cables so that I could charge all of the devices, and like loading books onto my Kindle so that I, in case there wasn't internet, I had books to read. You know, all that shit that you have to do to get everything ready. And there's not really internet here, and nothing fucking works. Nothing works without the internet. It's all shit without the internet. Everything you own, all of your technology, all of your tips and hacks, it's all, I'm sitting here like a caveman rubbing two sticks together trying to like read a book or listen to music. Like, everything is fucking broken. I can't hear the songs I want. It's all garbage. And it has made me very, like, I sit there three times a day and think about how like fragile and brittle our entire civilization is, because I can't listen to a song because it's not downloaded on one account, it's only on the other. It's a fucking disaster. Nothing works.
Mm-hmm. You know, if only you had a travel checklist like Merlin and I do that you so lovingly mocked.
It's not even that I have no internet. It's that I have not enough internet, and everything is broken. I can't do anything in my life.
That's the worst kind of internet. That I've mentioned this anecdote before, but one time I was on vacation with my family in the 43 folders days, and I had my laptop. And have I told you guys this story?
No, I don't think so.
I discovered that the house across the street from the house that we were renting, if you stood in a very particular place, mostly in the yard, or on a couch and you held your MacBook Pro, your 17-inch MacBook Pro, if you held it up in the air at a certain angle, you could get internet. And so my family was wandering around going, hey, let's get seashells. And I'm like, hang on, I got to check my comments. And I'm standing on this, like, a chaise lounge with my laptop in the air, like a salutation to the sun. And then I got an even better idea, which is like, I'm going to be back in a while. And of course, this house across the street is a vacation house, uninhabited at the time. I go and I sit next to their house so that I can get the internet. And that worked pretty well. But then something happened and their internet wasn't working. And I had a thought.
No.
I checked the sliding door and it was open.
No, no.
So I went inside and I cycled the router and then I went back and sat outside again. It wasn't good internet, you know, but
God.
you guys go ahead. You guys go clamming. I gotta go break into a house and fix the fucking Linksys. No, it's good. Daddy's happy. Yay.
This is like when you hear a story about when you're watching a movie where everyone's in an AA meeting and they're talking about how they broke into the neighbor's house to steal their pills. and they're like, yeah, I was just on vacation and it just seemed like the good idea at the time and the door was open and I just let myself in and took the pills. You know, I had to restore the dictator to health.
No one else would let me in, but this priest let me in. I came in, I stole his candlesticks and I cycled his router. Take these candlesticks and my router, and you may go. Yeah, so a little internet is a dangerous thing.
You know that Louis C.K. bit that was on Conan forever ago about, like, oh, just calm down if the internet doesn't work on a plane. But
You're in a chair.
Yeah, it's magic. Just calm down. But after you've paid $30 for your internet and it just stops working, I was almost that guy. I was almost the guy who was like, excuse me, what? Is it coming back? And I held back. But it was like, oh, man. And but you're right. The worst is when it starts a little bit and like my Twitter timeline loads, but none of the pictures are showing. So someone's clearly making a reference to some, you know, cool dank memes that the kids...
They're always supposed to comment like look at this crazy shit, and then it's just a gray square, and I'm like, what is the crazy shit? I need to know what the crazy shit is.
Thread.
And then it's like Trump's at it again. And
thread. Finger pointy. Thread. Thread.
Oh my God! Or how about this? This is welcome to Brady's new segment, Privilege Corner. Privilege Corner. So, I pay for the upgrade to be in the fancy row on Virgin America, and then the in seat Linux device doesn't work, and you're like, no, I paid extra for free movies and drinks, and this isn't working. Or like you pay to be in the fancy Linux row, and then somebody, some dude bro, comes and like sidles in. You got an extra, somehow got an extra seat, an open seat, and somebody sidles in next to you, and you're like, I want to narc this guy out so bad. It's like, you don't understand. I paid to be here, and you're in the seat that shouldn't be filled. Get out of my Linux row.
It's 2018 is going to be the year of Linux working on airplanes. All right, so I paid my cellular provider, AT&T, about $100. I think it was like $120 or something for international roaming data, and I get 1 gigabyte. That $100 buys me. It's like so here's what it is. It's like a subprime loan. It's like a subprime adjustable mortgage, where I get 1 gig of data for $120, and then every megabyte is like $30 after that.
Right. I went through this in New Zealand. A gig is not what it used to be. You know what I mean? Even just running in the background. I'm not talking about YouTube. I'm not talking about Spotify. It'll blow your shit to realize just what a background. Oh, you know what? Feels like a good time to update your Dropbox and your contacts. And then you wake up the next morning and you get nasty gram pop-ups from AT&T. So how long did it take for you to go through it?
Well, I haven't looked, but how much do you think this podcast is costing me?
$300 probably.
We're gonna have to kick your Patreon fund for this. This is ridiculous. I didn't know you were doing that. So you couldn't. The ship, it just wouldn't do anything. Probably.
The ship Wi-Fi it's congested. I mean, there's too many people drinking too many banana pina coladas and congesting the pipes.
Yeah, the showers are too narrow and the toilets are too small.
You can only flush so many gravies and pina coladas before it all just collapses.
I folded your towel.
I bet there's at least 200 people on that boat updating their Nintendo, trying to update their Nintendo Switches so they actually function, and that's just killing.
Oh, right.
Yep.
So here's the other funny thing about the cruise is, like, we were in this Slack group of all of our friends who are going on the cruise, and everyone's making all their plans, including me. And it was like, my plans for the cruise were, I got a Switch. So my plan was, I was going to play Zelda Breath of the Wild on the cruise. I brought a box of magic cards. I was going to do a magic draft with my friends. I was going to play test a new game that I'm working on with some game designers. I was going to complete my application to this law program, and I was going to catch up on my inbox and try and get my inbox up to date so that when I got back to work, it was I was in a good place on email. And I was like, that is plus do the shows every night and, you know, do all the nonsense I have to do on the cruise. And I was like, this is a good conservative target of things that I can accomplish in the week on the cruise ship. And I have there's 3 days left on the cruise and I haven't done any of those things.
You got to let go and let gravy.
Yeah. The only thing the other funny thing was, like, I tried to sit down and just, like, look at my email, and the first thing that happens when I, like, connected my phone was I got 300 notifications going, like voicemails and texts and apps going, there was motion detected in your office. There was a fat hockey goalie in the office.
They just kept calling. God, even after I said, no, everything's fine, they just kept calling.
Hey, you know what? There's tons of things you can't do anything about. Want to hear all of them?
And there's a different person every time, and you need to say the code, and no. Well, I'm glad you're having a good time, Max. That's shocking.
Yeah, how was your trip? How's your trip? You also did a good trip.
I did. We were in Seattle for a week, and Cards had a booth at Emerald City Comic Con, and we sold out. Well, sold out is a strong phrase. We had a pay what you want booth for the first day of Emerald City Comic Con, and so we had Cards Against Humanity for sale. But we were really excited because we saw all of these people, like, lining up to put money in our money pile. And it was like, oh, wow, look at how great and decent all of these lovely humans are. They're not just taking stacks and stacks of games and running off. And then these guys in blue hoodies started taking stacks and stacks of games and running off. And we realized that they were resellers just stealing our games. And we were able to stop some of them, but it was like, oh God, fuck you. But then
is so gross.
Yeah, that was yes, it's disgusting and horrible. But the fact that the majority of people actually paid, we could tell that they were paying what we suggest, what the game's worth, $25, because there would be like a 20 wrapped in a 5. And I was like, oh, that makes me really happy. But then the rest of the weekend, we shared our booth with other like artists who couldn't afford space. And then the last day, we helped people write letters to Congress. And there were a few people who thought that we wanted them to write their representatives about Cards Against Humanity for some reason. So that's had that off at the
Tell your congressman it's a hilarious game for all ages.
and a few people were like, what do you have
available
against
Cards
now Against
Cards
Humanity?
CardsAgainstHumanity.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this very angry man came up and he's like, everything needs to be politically correct for you people. And I was and he just like accosted me for about 30 seconds. I'm like, no, I work for Cards Against Humanity. Here, would you like to fill out a letter to your senator? There were a couple like that. But overwhelmingly, like, all these teachers and librarians came up to us and was like, there's like no resources for this. And I don't want to be that person, but it felt really good. It felt really nice. And that was one of my favorite days actually talking to convention goers, because usually it's people who are like suggesting cards. And that's nice too, but I don't really have anything to do with that. But yeah, it was really fun and it was nice. My voice is kind of gone, but that's okay. All right, the end. Alex is done talking.
And you edited the show. You did a lot.
I did. Wow. If we had recorded, it was really my fault. If I had finished editing Wednesday, the night that we recorded, like, I would have had no problem uploading it. But as soon as, even though the place, like, where we stay in Seattle, there's a convention center. It is built for conventions. It's built for thousands and thousands of people to have devices. But no, like, the entire, like, city's internet just dies. The hotel had no internet. I found an obscure coffee shop that the Wi-Fi they offered was tethering to someone's phone. Oh, and that's how the episode got up. So,
oh, my God.
Thanks for listening, everybody. That was fun.
When are we going to put some money into this infrastructure? My goodness. Because you think about, like with WWDC historically, where there'll be, you know, there's all kinds of nerds with their phones in town. And everybody wants to get the developer versions of things. So they're sitting in their hotel room with crummy hotel Wi-Fi. They're on the Wi-Fi at Moscone, or they're doing it over their phone. You can just feel the entire city of San Francisco go, "Aah!" It just groans to a halt. Like, the internet just doesn't work anymore. It's almost like you're going to have to see, like, two major technological, not one major jump. You're not going to go from, like, fast to a little faster or slow to less slow. Like, I feel like in order to even just begin to keep up with the pace of how people use devices, there's gonna have to be like two giant leaps in how this stuff works.
One of the hilarious notifications I got as soon as I reconnected to the internet, I'm currently on what am I connected to? Telcel, the wonderful Mexican cell phone provider that must have yeah, it does have LTE. I have a couple bars of LTE, but I'm like offshore, right? Like, I'm sitting on this boat, like, you know, half a mile offshore, so it's like, it's kind of amazing that it works at all. But one of the great notifications, I get like 1,000 notifications that I can't do anything about, including like,
For example, if a phone you can't answer, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like 72 hours ago, there was a burglar at the office and they want the code. But here's one of the great ones that I got. Dear Max Temkin, thank you for your recent purchase of : Ziploc sandwich bags, pack of 150, 6x5 by 5.875 inch. We received your order on 02/25/17 and shipped it to you immediately to ensure fastest possible service. For information regarding expected delivery time frame, please refer to the order summary page in your Amazon account. We are committed to your bold, complete satisfaction. Space period. We will do everything possible to meet your expectations, such as providing a partial refund, full refund, or a replacement copy. In case of a problem, we would appreciate the chance to hear from you first, so please contact us. If you're happy with your purchase... If you're happy of your purchase of Ziploc sandwich bags, pack of 150, 6.5 by 5.875 inch, your positive feedback will be greatly appreciated. Please keep in mind that sellers are rated based on the number of quote-unquote positive 4 or 5 star feedback received.
Oh, God.
Anything less with 4 stars will hurt our business. You know, that is so... I just want to say... That is so considerate of the reseller on Amazon that provided me with the Ziploc sandwich bags, pack of 150, 6.5 by 5.875
inch. Max, you might not have known the impact that you're having on small business. The impact you're having on Ziploc sandwich bag resellers across the U.S., you don't know how you'd be harming the economy by not giving a 4 or 5 star review.
It's Well, it's just, I mean, that is really exceptional customer service, that they care so much about me that they're willing to send me a personal email to make sure that my pack of Ziploc sandwich bags, pack of 150, 6.5 by 5.875 inch. How many times? How many times do you get your pack of sandwich bags and you're not a bold, completely satisfied customer space period?
Well, I don't know. To me, they seem more like 6.5 by 5.775 inches.
Let me get my calipers out.
Don't make Max get his calipers.
I mean, well, I'm not completely satisfied.
I'm never completely satisfied.
I mean, the sandwich that I put in the bag wasn't good. Do I get a refund for that?
You're acting like this is so. Well, you're both good at computers. Have you never gotten one of these reseller follow-up emails before?
I get about 14 a week. And yeah, I contacted Amazon and I said, Amazon, I don't want to receive these anymore. And they said, no problem. And I stopped getting them for a while, and then they just start back up again because reasons.
I'm going to try that. All right. It's
You can also tell Amazon, remind Amazon that the United States Postal System is human shit. Please don't send me things with USPS anymore. Supposedly, there's a secret menu.
Oh.
It's like when you, yeah, like when you order a baby at In-N-Out, like you can go in and get whatever you want. You call them up and you say, USPS is human shit. Please use the UPS for me. And apparently that might work for a while too. Your mileage may vary. Your motorcycle's up to 3 p.m.
Look at Merlin Mann is here. Look at these life hacks.
Look at me. I'm talking into my shoe.
One of my moments of exquisite relaxation on the cruise, Veronica and I went to, there's this thing called the hydro spa, or no, it's called the hydro pool, which really all pools are hydro pools, but this is it's a premium service.
What is the deal?
What's the deal with the hydro pool? It's this premium thing. It's basically the spa, and it's just like a huge, it's the closest thing I can describe it to is like an onsen like you'd find in Japan, where it's like a big communal hot tub that like 40 people could go in. But it has this sort of like built-in, it's wonderful. We were the only people there. We went yesterday while everyone was on shore. It was unbelievable. We were like the only people in this like heated swimming pool. And there's like this like recline, how do I describe it? There's this like metal exoskeleton up against the edge of this pool. It's like 3 feet deep, and then there's like a metal exoskeleton, and you can sort of recline into this metal exoskeleton, and it's sort of like the shape of, it's like a lounge chair almost, and you can like lie there above the water just like soaking in this like bubbling,
it sounds like the
hot
the big alien in a chair, an alien like you're in the big alien chair.
It's more like you're driving the exosuit of the hop tub.
Oh, nice.
And that when the ship is rocking, it all sort of sloshes around in a pleasant way. It's very nice. And I was in there, and I was reading my book about capitalism. I finished it, and I got to the most incredible. I had just been dealing with all my emails and stuff because we got the internet. We were at shore, and I was thinking about that Ziploc email, and it just like got under my skin and bothered me. And I got to the most amazing thing in this book about it's talking about how in capitalism there's this whole cult of like the individual has to be responsible, like individual responsibility. So it's like it's your responsibility to protect the environment and deal with global warming and like buy the right products and buy product red or whatever. But corporations like evade all of this responsibility, and they're just sort of designed, all of these big systems of capital are sort of designed to be centerless. Like there's nothing that could be responsible. And there's this great thing about the customer support line, like calling for help on the phone. So this is Mark Fisher writes, the closest that most of us come to a direct experience of the centerlessness of capitalism is an encounter with the call center. As a consumer in late capitalism, you increasingly exist in two distinct realities, the one in which the services are provided without hitch, and another reality entirely, the crazed Kafkaesque labyrinth of call centers, a world without memory, where cause and effect connect together in mysterious, unfathomable ways, where it is a miracle that anything ever happens, and you lose hope of ever passing back over to the other side, where things seem to function smoothly. What exemplifies the failure of the neoliberal world to live up to its own PR better than the call center. Even so, the universality of bad experiences with call centers does nothing to unsettle the operating assumption that capitalism is inherently efficient, as if the problems with call centers weren't the systemic consequences of a logic of capital, which, page turn, means organizations are so fixated on making profits that they can't actually sell you anything. The call center experience distills the political phenomenology of late capitalism, the boredom and frustration punctuated by cheerily piped PR, the repeating of the same dreary details many times to differently poorly trained and badly informed operatives, the building rage that must remain impotent because it can have no legitimate object, since, as it is very quickly clear to the caller, there is no one who knows and no one who could do anything even if they did. Anger can only be a matter of venting. It is aggression in a vacuum directed at someone who is a fellow victim of the system, but with whom there is no possibility of communality. Just as your anger has no proper object, it will have no effect. I was very relaxed while I was reading that.
You were reading this on a luxury cruise ship in an empty gigantic bathtub.
Yeah. And I was like, this is so true.
This is crazy. You know, I found myself really enjoying gambling, I think, and I made a bet with Mel. She's like, Max isn't going to read I bet Max is not going to read anything and have anything prepared for the podcast. I'm like, no. I bet he will have at least a page worth of something to share with Merlin and I, and mm-hmm. I think I've definitely won that bet. So thank you.
Yeah, really, really, really makes you think.
And there was a page turn, so I know I'm definitely right.
None of my shit syncs up, so I had to go get the device with it on it because I can't even sync my notes.
Oh my god, it's so hard to read about late capitalism in Mexico.
Caveman, I mean, it's how brittle the system is, man. Nothing syncs up.
It's sick on so many levels. You gotta throw yourself upon El Machine. Upon El Levers.
No, upon when I get back, gears. I'm on vacation.
El Los Todo Apparatus. Wow.
I also just can't stop thinking about Max kept saying space period and you know, the Sally, what's her name? Sally. Yeah.
Would 100 be the right number? That would not be the right number.
No data. For your period of bleeding time. What is appropriate number of things to staunch flow?
So, for people who don't know, Sally Ride was an astronaut, and she before this was like hours before she was set to take off, and some NASA engineers was like, "We've given you 100 tampons. Is that the correct number?" And she's like, "No, that is not the correct number." But there's no, like, the thing that kills me is there's no follow-up quotes for this story, and I'm like, how did that conversation end? Like, did she teach
So them? It's a story from prospect.org. They wrote about the experience that Sally Ride had being the first woman astronaut. And they said NASA had to make some adjustments to accommodate the women in Ride's astronaut class, and later as it prepared to send her to space. It added a women's locker room, which astronaut Judy Resnick, who later died in the Challenger explosion, festooned with a Tom Selleck poster. Rather than force astronauts to use urine-catching devices that resembled condoms, NASA added commodes to space vessels. Tampons were packed with their strings connecting them like a strip of sausages so they wouldn't float away. Engineers asked Ride, quote, "Is 100 the right number?" She would be left in space for a week. That would not be the right number, she told them. At every turn, her difference was made clear to her. When it was announced that Ride had been named to a spaceflight mission, her shuttle commander, Bob Crippen, who became a lifelong friend and colleague, introduced her as, quote, "undoubtedly the prettiest member of the crew." At another press event, a reporter asked Ride how she would react to a problem on the shuttle. "Do you weep?"
That's my favorite part.
Oh, my God. These are engineers, so they must have had meetings.
Oh, God.
They must have had meetings, discussions. They got a blackboard. They have to present a number to astronaut Sally Ride. Will it be 5 million? Well, that seems too high. One seems too low. Let's suggest 100. Should we ask another female of the human species? That would not be appropriate. Suggest 100. Try 100.
Oh man, I'm looking. If people, you know what? I bet a lot of people don't know. It's International Women's Strike Day, and Yay. A lot of people at our office aren't really doing that because none of us are union, and also, I don't know. It's tricky. Like I am looking up a brief history of menstruating in space, and I have to tell you, Popular Science.
I love that book.
This is really great. This is just real, real great. Oh, wow.
How different it would be if Stephen Hawking had written that first.
You know, you can tell that this was definitely written by a dude first, and then they brought on. I mean, it's the byline is Amy Shira title, but like a dude definitely wrote the first pass of this, and she was like, no. To bleed or not to bleed? Oh, my God.
Oh,
you've written things on the internet, Merlin. Does that sound like a header for a paragraph that someone wrote or an editor wrote?
Oh, it's usually the editors. This is something that lots of writers like to mention, and where people will say, like, "Hey, you know what? I really liked your article, but man, who's doing those headlines?" Like, yeah, I had nothing to do with it. And you know, I'm not like a professional card writer or something, but space period or what was it? To bleed or not to bleed?
To Popular Science credit, the article is A Brief History of Menstruating in Space, which, you know, not the best,
that's
whatever.
That's fine.
But some of the headers, women not in space, to bleed or not to bleed, blood in space, and that's it. Oh, God.
Yeah, I would have given some of those a second pass. Ticket, challenge.
Challenge.
All right, I'm paying $300 a minute for this podcast, and every second that we record, it's going to make it more and more impossible for me to actually upload the file, so we got to do this quick.
Okay, quick, your turn, Alex. Alex, it is your week. Pick a challenge now.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Meditate every day starting this evening. Yeah, starting this evening. And just so we can stay on brand and on message, you're going to have to use an app or a book to assist you and share your findings next week.
All right, I'm in.
All right.
This is a good one.
Mm. Oh, it's going to be terrible. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself. I'm sorry, Merlin. Sorry.
No, it's all good. All good. Ride, Sally, ride. Ha ha ha!